Thank you, Doug. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read some scripture. I had Doug read that parable of the Lord Jesus Christ about the prodigal son. In these series of messages, we're going to preach, and I'm going to attempt, by the grace of God, to bring on the fruits of the Spirit. I want us to understand one underlying theme of these messages. And I know this is going to sound like some billboard you read going down the streets. It might sound like some bumper sticker you read on the back of a car. But I want you to remember this, and I'm going to keep bringing it to you. Okay? We've got to get real to get right. Okay? And I know that sounds trite. I know it does. But that is very Calvinistic. It is. What did the prodigal son have to do? He had to come to himself, didn't he? The Lord had to bring him to himself to find out what he was and what he had before he turned his eyes on what was available to him in his Father. And I want us all to keep that in mind as we would. It is the theme throughout the entire Bible. Isaiah, same thing happened to him, right? He saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And he got real. Woe is me. I am undone. And everybody around me is undone. Job, same thing happened with him, didn't he? I've heard of thee all my life at the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and what have you got real? I abhor myself. I abhor myself. So I want us to remember that as we go through these fruits of the Spirit and as we look at these different things, that we have to get real to get right. And that is something that not just happens only once in our lives. It's not something that just happens like we are saved and we get real, we get right, and then the rest of our lives everything's smooth sailing. All you got to do is go into the Bible and look. That's not the case. All through our lives we have to continue to be brought back to this fact, the reality of our situation. That without Him we're nothing. Without Him we have nothing. And in order for us to understand where we're going to seek joy in our lives, where we're going to find hope in our lives, where we're going to find peace in our lives, we have got to come to a reality that it's not going to happen from things in this world. It's not where we're going to get it. We're not going to get it from our husbands. We're not going to get it from our wives. We're not going to get it from our children. We are going to get it from the only source there is, and that is the Spirit of the living God. Okay? So that's where I want us to come at this from. And that's where we're going to keep going back to. Alright? Now listen to what this said. We're going to start in verse 19. And we're going to read down through the end of the chapter here in Galatians chapter 5. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now these are the works of the flesh. Listen, apart from God, this is all we have. Do we understand that? Without God, this is who we are. Okay? Now, let's go to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is..." You'll notice when we read these, none of these things are over here on the other side of the page. None of these things are in the flesh. There are things that seem like it. I'm going to say love, and you're going to say, "Well, wait a minute. There are people that are lost and unconverted people that really look like they're in a reprobate state, but they still have love in their lives." Yeah, but it's not the same love as this is. Say, "Well, there are some people that are lost and walking in this world, and it looks to me like they're joyful." It's not the same joy as what we have. It's not. And I'm gonna bring this up as we go through this, and I don't want to get too far into this because we're going to talk about it when we talk about joy in our lives. But the reason why Christians don't find joy, we have a hard time finding it, is we're too busy trying to be happy. Okay? That's really the reason why we have a hard time finding joy. And we're going to find out that there's a difference between happiness and joy. One's everlasting. One's just for a moment. We're going to find that out. Okay, so we're going to see in these words, there are words that are really similar. And they're words that we can find over on the flesh side. And they're words that we might be able to find out in the world. But they're not the same thing. Because the only place these words truly come from is the Spirit of God. And if we have them in our lives, they're gifts. If we have faith in your life, if you have faith, you weren't born with it. If you have true faith, it is a gift of God. If you have true love in your heart for those around you, for your wife, for your husband, if you have true love for your children, if you have true love for those around you, it didn't come from you. It came from the Spirit of God. That's where it came from. And so when I read these, I want you to repeat them to me, okay? And I'm going to do a lot of things that are kind of crazy this morning. Just bear with me and do this. I want us to remember these things, okay? I'm going to do this over and over again. And by the end of it, I hope we remember these things. Love.
Love.
Love. Okay. Joy. Peace.
Long
suffering.
Gentleness.
Goodness. Faith.
Meekness.
Temperance. Against such, there is no law. Alright. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Sovereign God of all creation, Father, you are that one who has done all things well. And Father, we fall at your feet this morning and we praise you for your greatness, for your goodness, for your mercy, your kindness, your love. We thank you for all the things that we are not. Father, you are. And Lord, we just come to you this morning. We pray that you might in some way reveal yourself to us. Lord, that through your word, not through the feebleness of who stands up here this morning, but through your word and your power and your might, dear God, that you might reveal yourself to us and that you might make a difference in our lives, that you might cause us to get real, that we might come to the understanding of what we truly are without you. Lord, that we might flee to you, that we might run to you, that we might seek you. Lord, you have promised in your word that if we ask, we shall receive. You have promised that if we seek, we will find. You have promised that if we knock, it shall be opened unto us. Dear God, help us to understand these things, to take these things to heart, to realize that our good is not found in earthly things, but it is found in you and you alone. Father, just help us to see these things and just glory in you, Father, this morning. Lord, just bless our time together. Be with us always. Be with those that aren't able to be here this morning. I pray that you'd bless them, strengthen them, lift them up. Thank you again, Lord, for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our prophet, our priest, and our King, who is our all in all. And it is in His dear and His precious Son, in His name, that we ask these things. Amen. Well, there's three different things I'm going to try. First today, what we're going to go through is, and this may sound kind of crazy to you, but why it is we don't need these things in our lives. And truly, why we don't need these things in our lives is because we don't really feel the need of it. And part of that is because we're looking for it in the wrong place. And we seemingly are finding something that resembles it. Okay? So that's what we're going to deal with today. We're also going to, in that, we're going to deal with why we need these things so much. Why it's so crucial that we have these things in our lives. And then, hopefully in the weeks to come, we're going to look at how the Spirit of the Lord, the working of the Spirit of the Lord, is promoted in our lives. For it truly is. We read in the Scripture that there is a way that we are to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is also a way that the Spirit is quenched in our lives. And we're going to look at these things And that has nothing to do. Whenever someone says that you can quench the Spirit, all of a sudden we get all backed up and we say, no, you cannot. We believe in irresistible grace. It is impossible. The power of God is, you can't quench that. No, I'm not saying you can quench the power of God. There's no way. Impossible. It'd be like trying to put a bucket on a wildfire out in the Yellowstone National Park. I mean, you can't do that. It's impossible. But yet, remember the what we talked about, the water freezing when the light is pulled away. This is exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to see that when God, by His sovereign power and His might and His will in our lives, He works within us, and sometimes He removes that from our lives. He removes this restraining hand from us, and what do? What did Isaiah say? All we like sheep have gone astray. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to run. That's our fault. That's our fault. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. That's exactly what we'll do. And then we're going to talk about God coming and receiving us and taking us back. Like that prodigal son. He came and he revealed himself to him. He thought about the Father. That's the drawing of the Father. And we're going to talk about that and how we seek Him. And when we seek Him, we'll find Him. And asking and receiving from Him. So we're going to talk about these things. And then we are going to, Lord willing, go through these words one by one. And we're going to break them down and we're going to find out a little bit of something about these great fruits of the Spirit, if the Lord blesses. Okay, let's turn over, if you can, this morning to Ephesians chapter 5, though. That's where we're going to start here. Because we want to see, I want you to see the importance and the importance that Paul puts on this being filled with the Spirit of God, having these fruits in our lives. And then I want us to understand why it is that we don't really see a real need of this in our lives. Okay? So it says here in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, and we've read these verses before, but it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess." Okay? Now this is not a prohibition sermon. We're not talking about not drinking anything. We understand, don't we, that what Paul said to Timothy, you can have a little wine for your stomach's sake. What Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture is not just having a little bit of wine. He is talking about drunkenness. He is talking about drunkenness that leads to something. And he says, wherein is excess. And that word excess is the same word that's found over in that story of the prodigal son when it said he wasted all of his living on riotous living. Okay, that word right there is destructiveness. It means a destructive principle. So what the prodigal son did is he wasted on his money on destructive living. And it was tearing him down. It was breaking him down. That's sin. That's what sin does in our lives. It is destructive. And what Paul is saying here, he is saying, do not be drunk with wine. That could be anything in our lives. You may not have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't see anybody in here that's got a problem with alcohol, but I know there's something in your life that you've got a problem with. Okay? Everybody's got a problem with something. And whatever that problem is, you put it right there. Okay? Do not be drunk with whatever your situation is, whatever gets you. Okay? You don't be drunk with that wherein is excess or wherein is destructive. Okay? But do what? Be filled with the Spirit. What does that word filled mean? That word right there is a Greek word that is really means what they used to do with leather. They would take and dump it in a solution of water and some other things, and they would get it to where it was soaked. And they would pull it out and be able to work with it. It was moldable, it was pliable, they could work with it. And this is the same principle. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be soaked with the Spirit of God. Be saturated with the Spirit of God. And there's a reason for that. And by the way, that's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. Okay? That's a command of God. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. It says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves, listen to this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I want us to understand another thing about this. And that is that Paul is speaking, and what I get out of this is Paul speaking directly to me. Okay? He's teaching me. And I want each of you to take this to heart. Okay? He's not talking about you talking to somebody else, or you preaching to somebody else, or you going and making sure that they are filled with the Spirit. What Paul's doing is he's telling me, David, you need to be saturated with the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying to me. And that's what he's saying to you. Okay? We don't need to go play the Holy Spirit in people's lives. We don't need to do that. God will do that. What we need to do right now, what Paul is telling us, is that we need to be looking at ourselves. And these words are our words. Okay? Now take them to yourself. Okay? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Listen to verse 21. Submitting yourselves. Okay, now that we are soaked with the Spirit of God, okay? Now that we are just dripping with the Spirit of God, now we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you see how that's going to make a difference? Do you see how if we submit ourselves to each other when we're drunken with the things of this world, when we've got all these things and cares of the world, and we've got them all and you're saturated with them, and then we submit ourselves one to another, how the difference is going to be in our lives? It's going to be a huge difference. One's war and the other one's peace. Okay? And that's one thing we need to really understand about these fruits of the Spirit, that these are healing things. That there's healing involved. You remember when Jesus Christ was walking through that crowd of people and that woman with that issue of blood? She came up, she thought to herself, she's standing back, and he was just in this throng of people, and she thought to herself, man, if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she went up there, and she just grabbed him like that. And the disciples were all around him, and they were just pushing through this throng. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Remember? He said, hey, somebody touched me. And his disciples were like, what are you talking about? They had these people pushing on us and pushing all over us. What do you mean? He said, no, virtue went from me. You know what that is? That was a spirit. These things are healing things. And so this is why we so much need them in our lives. This is why we so much need to be saturated with these things. And for those around us, are not going to be healed by what we are, but they're going to be healed by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Because that's where the power is. Okay? So, as we think about this, let's think about that. Okay, this is one of the reasons why we need these so much in our lives. Is because those around us need it. They need this. Okay? Well, we've got to ask ourselves, okay, so why is it that we don't really feel a need for these things in our lives? Why is it that, you know, it's been so long since I went to Galatians chapter 5 and really read that? Why has it been so long? Why is it that I go through every day, and I mean day after day after day after day, and I never really even seek the Spirit of God? I open up my Bible and I read it, and I, you know, I'm looking at some things in the Bible, but I'm not actively seeking what I need in the Scripture. Why is it? Well, let me just say this to all of us, and I might step on some toes, I don't know, but you're your own worst enemy. You are. And I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm my own worst enemy. And I'm going to tell you this, too, and I'm not lying to you when I tell you this. No one in your life has lied to you more than yourself. Nobody. You stop and think about it. You lie to yourself every minute of the day. We lie to ourselves about how good we are. We lie to ourselves how bad we are. We lie to ourselves this. We lie to ourselves about this. We're constantly lying to ourselves. Okay, so I'm telling you straight up right now, you are your own worst enemy. And the reason why we do not feel like we need these things in our lives is because we're lying to ourselves. We're thinking that the things we're going to receive from the world are going to take the place of these things. And they're not. One of the biggest problems that we have in our lives is that we believe. Now, you got to get this. We need to understand this. Is that we truly believe. I know it's not theological. I know we sit in here and we say, no, Jesus Christ is a sinner. He's everything. Right? That's theologically correct. But we walk out here in the world and what do? We are the center of the universe. It's just the way it is. That's the way we feel. We're the center of everything. I'll give you an example. We can be driving down the road, driving around 465. I'll be just cruising along. I really need to get somewhere. Somebody will pull over in the fast lane, and get in front of me and slow me up. I'll say, get out of my way! Why? Because I'm the center of the universe. I mean, it's just the way it is. I am. I've got to get to where I need to be. They're going just as fast as they need to be going. They got just as much right to be there as I do. But they're in front of me and they shouldn't be there. I'm the center of the universe. Okay, another example. I'm in the grocery store and I walk up to a line and my kids know this, my wife knows this. Don't ever follow me into a line at the grocery store because I always go to the slow lane. It doesn't matter. I'm always going to the slow lane. So I walk up to it. I got some stuff in my cart. I got to get going. I got time, time schedule. I got to get somewhere. Line's not moving. Okay. I look around. What is going on? And I look up there, and there's some lady up there. She's got like a whole thing of groceries. She's got like five kids hanging off the cart. They're throwing stuff and everything. And what are you doing? Never once do I stop and consider how difficult it would probably be to take five kids to the grocery store. My wife will vouch for what I'm saying. Unless you've taken three or four toddlers to the grocery store at the same time, you've never lived. Okay? But yet, I don't care because I'm the center of the world. I'm the center of the universe. I need to get through the line. Just throw the stuff, tie the kids up, throw the stuff on the line, just get going. Okay? I'm the center of the world. All right? And that's the way it's always been. In my life, I know it is. I grew up that way. I've always had to be the hero. I mean, when I was growing up, I always had to be the Lone Ranger. I always had to be, I was never Tonto. I was left at the Grace or something else. I was never... And when my children were growing up, I saw the same thing in them. And Michael was always Batman. Ethan was always Robin. I mean, we always got to be the heroes. Okay, that's just the way it is. And when we get a little bit older in our life, it doesn't change. I mean, we'll watch something on television. I remember you watch Master Commander. I mean, the whole week I'm walking around like a Master Commander of the house. We're heroes. That's what we are. We're the center of the universe. Okay? And so, what do we do with Scripture then? Well, we make ourselves out to be the heroes in Scripture. We do. That's just what we do. I mean, we read the story of David and Goliath, and I'm David. I mean, that's who I am. Not just the name, I'm David. We look at Samson and it's slaying those thousands of Philistines with a jawbone of an ass, and that's me. Oh, wow, but that's me. Or we look at Moses, and Moses is standing up there before all those Israelites, and he's holding up that rod. I've heard messages on this. And how we as fathers are like Moses, and we're leading our family to the Red Sea to the other side, to victory. I got news for you, okay? And then we just got to come to reality. We're not David. We're not David. We are not Samson. We are not Moses. We're not Joshua. We're not. You see, Jesus Christ is the greater David. Jesus Christ is the greater Moses. Jesus Christ is the greater Joshua. Jesus Christ is the greater Samson. Okay? You say, you're kind of stepping on me here. Who am I then? Okay, let me tell you the story, okay? You got David, he's out there fighting Goliath. And he's out there and on the battlefield. You see those Israelites up there on the camp? And they're up there and they're biting their fingernails and they're saying, "You're gonna kill us." That's us. That's me and you. Okay? That's reality. That's who we are. Same thing with Moses. Moses is up there in the front. He's holding up the rod of God and the water's separating. And back in the back of the camp, you got those Israelites and they're looking back and see them Egyptians coming. And they're gonna die, right? That's us. That's us. We gotta get real to get right. Okay? That's us. I mean, we may think we're David, and I guarantee you I can hand you a bucket of rocks and say, you go out there and you face that 9-foot giant. Go ahead. You're out there swinging rocks and you're throwing them and you're missing every time. That's us. Okay? And then you're going to end up with a 14-foot long spear right through you in about 5 seconds. Let's just step off of our high horse for a second. Let's step back for a minute and let's look at this story the way it really is. Okay? We've got David facing Goliath. Okay? And we're back here with these Israelites and we're just shaking in our boots. We're scared half to death. Here's David. Not a fear in the world. Really, not a fear. He pulls a rock out of his pouch and he puts it in his sling. That giant stand there and he defies him to his face. He says, today, Goliath, I'm going to have your head. That's what he said. Defied him right to his face. And we're all sitting there, what are you doing? And he puts that rock in that sling and he wounds it up. Boom! Hits him right between the forehead, right in the eyes. Drops him like a rock. Goes up there. Pulls his sword out of his scabbard. Whacks off his head. It's over. And all these Israelites are standing there going, wow. I mean, did you see that? Did you see what he just did? Can we not see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? Can we see that? Do we understand that we must come off of our high horse? We got to come down here to look up and see what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. That Jesus Christ is the greater David. Do you see what he's done? That's what we glory in. That's where we need to draw our strength from. That's where we need to draw our comfort from. That's where we need to draw our hope from. It's from that one who is greater than us. Do you see the difference it's going to make if we... How hard is that for me to be David? That's impossible. I can't be him. I don't want to be him. Jesus Christ is everything. And so that's how we live our lives. That's why we need the fruits of the Spirit. Because that's where they come from. They come from a view of God. A view of who He is. And what He's done for us. You see what happened in Moses' cave. What he did to the children of Israel. He led them down into that water. That water was like a big grave, okay? You get the picture? It's a big grave. And he walked them down through there and we followed him. The Israelites followed him through that grave. And he came out on the other side. And the Israelites came out victorious. And he looked over. And we look back and we see that water coming down on top of those Egyptians that held us in bondage. And victory is there. And they're gone. What do? We glory in the Lord Jesus Christ who has brought us through all these things. Who has brought us. He carried us through death and He brought us up unto victory. Unto newness of life. And we glory in Him. And that's where we draw our strength and our comfort. Now let's bring this into our lives. Okay? Because anything in our lives, I want you to follow me here, anything in our lives that we put up here, follow me? Anything we put up here that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not God, what is it? It's an idol. It's a little G-O-D. And so many times in our lives, we look at these things and we try to draw things from this world. We place all sorts of things up here in our lives as Christians. Let me ask you this. Wives, if you put your husbands up here, okay, and you are trying to draw hope from them. You're trying to draw comfort from them. You're trying to draw all these things from them. That's too much for your husband. It's too much for him. He's not David. He's not Samson. He's not the greater of these. He's not. Husband, same thing. You put your wives up there, you're in trouble. They're in trouble. Everybody's in trouble here. Okay? We've got to see this. If we put our children up there, And so often in our lives, that's what we do as parents. We take and we put our children up here and we try to draw things from them. We try to draw happiness from them. We try to draw, get them famous. Really? Really? So we can feel good? Now, no. We need to understand that the chief end of man is what? It's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the chief end of man. The chief end of my wife is not to bring me happiness. That's not her chief end. Her chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's her chief end. And so we need to understand that as we look at her and we see her looking to Christ, looking to God, that's what she needs to be doing. And how much of a difference is that going to make in our life? Let's just think about this for a minute. Let's get practical for a minute. Okay, I've been working all day. You know, I'm hungry. I've been working hard. All right, I come home and I walk in the house and I expect, because I'm center of the world, center of the universe, I expect my food to be done. I expect a hot meal on the table. I expect all these things to happen for me. Okay? You see some tension coming? Okay, my wife's been working all day. She's been trying to help the kids. She's been doing all these different things in the house. But yet I want this because this is me. Okay? I. All right? That's going to bring, you see how that's going to bring tension? Now what happens if I realize and I understand what, and I've been praying for her all day long, that she can, through her day, that she might be able to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I come home at night, and that has been my prayer the entire day. And I come in, and yeah, she doesn't have the food on the table. That's fine. That's fine. Okay? I'm not the center of the world. My children aren't the center of the world. You're not the center of the world. Jesus Christ, God is the center of the world. He's the center of the universe. You see that? It's going to make a big difference in our lives. It truly is. And so when we think about these things, I want us to really consider this. Consider this problem that we all have. And that is that we always put ourselves... And you look at the children of Israel, and yeah, they came across the Red Sea, and they saw Moses, and they saw deliverance, and they saw all these things. What happened the next 2 days? They were right back saying, we want food. We want this. You brought us all the way over here, and now we're gonna die of not having water. I mean, that's just the way we are. And so every day we need to get real. We need to get real in order that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm gonna get even a little more personal. Okay, I'm gonna draw this in just a little bit closer. Okay, and I'm gonna deal with something that I see as a major problem in all of our lives. Because it isn't going away. Okay? It's not going to go away. And it's these little things right here. Okay? And I may sound like the little kid on the street, you know, and the parade's going by, and these tailors are back behind the king. Remember the story? And they're holding up this little garment that they made for him. And everybody is saying, oh, wow, man, look at how nice he looks. Look at the great thing on the king, you know. Look at it. He's got this great garment. And there's this little kid there, and he's saying, hey, guys. Cuckoo. I mean, the king's naked. Okay? He doesn't have any clothes on. All right? Somebody has to be this person. So I'm going to try to do this, okay? Out of love, I'm going to try to bring you a story this morning, okay? And I'm going to ask a question. And everybody's got a problem with this thing. I mean, I've got a pretty good constitution. I really do. I'll pat myself on the back. I got a pretty good constitution, okay? But I'm nothing. This thing with me. It's with me. Okay? This thing could be sitting on the dashboard of my truck. Okay? And I could be driving down the road. And it's like it's calling to me. You didn't think that sounds silly. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't have this problem. But it's like it's calling to me, and so I've got to grab it, and I push this little button, and all these little things pop up, and I just got to push something. I mean, Has anybody ever watched The Lord of the Rings? Have you seen that movie? I mean, maybe you haven't. I don't know. But you know, the Ring of Power. And he's going, I'm like, oh, I gotta, that's it. I got to push something. And I don't have any, you know, any social media or anything like that on my phone. So I just check the weather. I mean, I know it's weird, but I just check the weather like 30 times a day. It used to be I'd look up at the sky and say, you know, it's not going to rain. But now I just keep pushing the button, the weather button, over and over, still partly cloudy. Isn't that cool? And I shut it off, throw the phone down. I got my little phone fixed. Everybody's got this problem. Am I wrong? I mean, it's something that we just do. I'm going to ask you a very serious question. I know it's kind of, it may seem silly to you, but what if the prodigal son had a cell phone? You say that's like 20,000, or like 2,000 years ago, Dave. I mean, they didn't have cell phones back then. I know that. But I'm just asking you this, okay? What if the prodigal son had a cell phone? Okay? And he had a social media page. Okay? Okay, so we got the prodigal son, and he gets all of his stuff, all of his stuff from his father. Gets all of his goods and the things that his father inherits, and he gets them all, and he goes off. But he's got his phone, okay? And so he's putting all of his little shenanigans on social media, okay? And, okay. But the guys back home are getting this stuff. And they're looking at this, and they're saying, man, let's just call him Ronnie, okay? Ronnie's having a great time. Ronnie's enjoying himself. Look at how Ronnie's spending his dad's money. He's having a great time. Okay? And here Ronnie is. Yeah, I mean, he's wasting all of his father's money. Okay? We may think this is funny, but just listen to me, okay? He's wasting all his dad's money. And so he runs out of money. Well, you know, he didn't put that on her. Okay? So now, a little bit later, these guys back here, back at home, you know, let's say Bob, he gets a ding from Ronnie. Okay? And Bob gets this social media page, comes over, and Ronnie sends him this thing about how now he's selfied himself with this farmer. Okay? He's got a selfie of him and a farmer, and Bob over here, he gets this ding, and he says, look! He took all the money, he had fun, and now he's got himself a good job, and he's going to be part owner of the farm pretty soon. When all along, what's Ronnie doing? What's reality in Ronnie's life? He's in the pig pen, okay? And he's eating husk that's falling out of the pig pen. Okay, so this is bad enough, okay? And what it's doing over here on this side is even worse. Because you got Bob over here wanting to be Ronnie. That's just wrong. Okay? But what's happening over here on this side is what's so bad. And this is what I want to get to. And I know there's a lot of good things on the phone. There's things that we're going to have to keep using them because they're part of our lives. But we've got to realize this. That Ronnie, what he wants more than anything is to get a ding from Bob. Because that's where he's getting his happiness from. That's where he's getting his joy from. That's where he's getting his comfort from. He's getting it from Bob over here sending him a fist bump, telling him he's doing a great job. But the reality of the situation is he's in the pig pen. And he's going to have to get real to get right. I want us to all think about that. I want us to all really just let that, this week I want us to mull over these things. And I want us to think about these things, okay? Because we truly do. We have got to get real in our lives. We've got to get real to get right, okay? And praise be to God, He came with power to that prodigal son. And He revealed Himself to him. And man, I'm telling you, what a blessing that was. He comes back, he goes to his father, and his father, what's he do? He kills the fatted calf, and he receives him as his own. He wasn't going to do that as long as Ronnie just sit there in that pig pen. Let's don't be content with that. Let's don't. Let's get real. Let's realize that Jesus Christ is everything. That we don't need the applause from the world. We don't need what the world has to say about the way we look or the way we are. Anything about that. We don't need that. What we really need is we need the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has to give us. That's what our relationships need. That's what our lives, that's what the people around us need. They don't need what we have to say. They don't need our little vain comment. They don't need that. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they need. That's what we all need. And I pray to God that He will have us to be like that. That He will come with power. And that we can submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see that? That we won't submit ourselves one to another in the fear of man or the fear of this or the fear that we don't look great or the fear of this or that. But we're going to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then we'll just step off this platform that we put ourselves on and that we will live our lives in that manner. It's going to make a difference. It'll make a difference. And I tell you what, this week let's try something. Let's try something. Let's submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. This may sound really silly, but maybe exchange phone numbers with each other. If you don't have a phone, that's fine. Just exchange phone numbers with each other, and when we get the urge to send something out, let's send out a verse to each other and a word of encouragement. I know there's been people doing that already, but let's do that. Not this generic thing where we send it out to 1,000 people, but let's actually just send it to someone and just let them know you're praying for them. And if you're praying, if you say you're praying for them, pray for them. Maybe we could do that. And I guarantee you, at the end of this thing, when we come back together, then we're going to be a lot closer. It'll make a difference in our lives. It truly will. I know it will. Well, the Lord bless you. I pray that something that was said this morning will be a help to you. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to go into how it is that we are filled with the Spirit of God. Lord bless you.